भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नाष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्द गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35, entitled The Gopis Sing of Krishna, text number 4 and 5. Hanta Chitram Babhala Srinu Tedam हराहसा उरसि स्थिर विद्युत नंदा सुनुर अयमार्त जाननम नर्मधो यारि कूजित वेनुः हंत चित्रम अभल श्रृणुतेदम हराहसा उरसि स्थिर विद्युत नंद सुनुर अयम आर्त जनानम नर्मधो यारि कूजित वेनुः हंता चित्रम वंडर Abala, O girls, Srinuta, here, Idam, this, Hara, brilliant like a necklace, Hasa, who smile, Urasi, upon the chest, Stira, motionless, Vidyut, lightning, Nanda Sunuhu, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am this, Arta, troubled, Jananam, for persons, Narma, of joy, Da, the giver, Yari, when Kuchita has vibrated, Venuhu, his flute, Vrindasha, in groups, Vraja, kept in the pasture, Rishaha, the bulls, Mriga, the deer, Gavaha, and the cows, Menu of the flute, Vadya, by the playing, Rita, stolen away, Chetasa, their minds, Arat, at a distance, Danta, by their teeth, Dashta, bit, Kavala, whose mouthfuls, Drita, holding up, Karnaha, their ears, Nidrita, asleep, Likita, drawn, Chitram, an illustration, Eva, as if, Asan, they were. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivinanta Swami Prabhupada. O girls, this son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jewel necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Rajas, bulls, deer and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Purport. The word Sthira Vidyut, steady lightning, refers to the goddess of fortune, who resides on the chest of the Supreme Lord. When the animals of Vrindavan hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned in ecstasy, and thus they stop chewing their food and cannot swallow it. The gopis in separation from Krishna marvel at the extraordinary effect of the Lord's flute playing. Sridhara Swami gives the following explanation of the compound word hara hasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklace. Because while Krishna plays the flute, he bends his head down and smiles. So you can see him. He bends his head down and smiles, and then you can see the flute. The word can also mean he whose smile, like a jewel necklace, casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly just like a smile. That's quite at least four different explanations of the word harasa. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnanam Chana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapradandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, great fortune that I'm able to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I hope the benefit of me speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is so that I can be more Krishna conscious after the class. We can see the picture of Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is a different picture to what you've heard two chapters ago. Two chapters ago you heard that Krishna was dancing with the most chaste, greatest of all devotees and the most chaste woman in entire creation. He was performing the Rasa Leela dance. Krishna was personally with them and performing such wonderful pastimes. Now, the picture is quite different, it's opposite. We see here that the gopis are in separation from Krishna. The nature of Vrindavan is such that doesn't matter who they may be in Vrindavan, they all experience separation from Krishna. We can see that when Krishna, He wakes up early in the morning because the coward boys, they have the intention of getting the association of Krishna, so they continuously come in the middle of the night to wake Krishna up and ask him to go to the forest. Well, obviously Mother Yashoda says, it's not time now, you go back to your home and you do whatever you have to do, go and sleep. Krishna is going to be here at this present moment. It's now, the sun hasn't arisen and so forth. But the coward boys would feel that intense separation, that they would come back 1 hour later and knock on the door and continuously disturb Mother Yashoda and wanted Krishna to come and go along with them to the forest. And after Mother Yashoda explains to them, they realize, we are here in dead of night, we should go back. And then after half an hour again, the same story. Anyway, after the morning sun has risen in Vrindavan, then what takes place is the coward boys, they have the facility of getting Krishna out of his home and going to the forest. As Krishna and Balaram goes to the forest, starts proceeding to the forest, then there's the separation experienced by Krishna's mother and father, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Mother Yashoda tries to stop Krishna and Balaram. She says, wait. You forgot your lunch bag. We have some extra preparation you must take with you. And then they get that extra bit of preparation and they start proceeding to the forest. But before they could proceed on, Mother Yashoda says, wait. You don't have shoes on. You should get the shoes. And this way we can see that the coward boys have no desire to leave Krishna, so does Mother Yashoda has no desire to leave Krishna. They want to be with Krishna. Similarly, we see in this chapter, the gopis, they had that wonderful relationship with Krishna on the Rasa Leela dance previous chapters. And usually the Rasa Leela is performed at night time. That's when Krishna performs Rasa Leela. But during the daytime, the gopis can't see their they feel so sad. They feel so sad to be in separation from Krishna that they can't handle. What do they do in that situation, in that kind of predicament? All the residents of Vrindavan have two primary objects, primary activities, most important activities. This most important activity is most practical even to this day-to-day life. What is this two most important activity? The residents of Vrindavan, whether they be coward boys, when they are not in separation from Krishna, when they are in separation from Krishna, or whether it be gopis when they are in separation from Krishna, or whether it be Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna, they do these two primary activities. These two primary activity is the beginning process of devotional service and it is the perfection of devotional service. It is hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. One may render different household activities or one may render different processes of activities, but the primary activity is always there. That is hearing and chanting. As we know, we hear there's two rail tracks. One is Varnashram Dharma and another is Bhagavad Vidhi or Bhagavad Dharma. The Varnashram Dharma is designation of oneself and he acts based on his ashram or caste, whatever you may call it. He may be acting as a brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyasi, that is one, that is material obligation. Another track is the Bhagavad Vidhi, that is the chanting, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The two primary activities of the residents of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna is the hearing and chanting. Even when they are with Krishna, they do this. This is constant. This is always going on. So now we hear that gopis, when they experience that separation from Krishna, they are actually relating the wonderful pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan. And they describe the beautiful features of Krishna as they hear one of the gopis saying, Srinutedam. Srinutedam means, Srinuta means here. So, Srinutedam means hear these topics about Krishna. Harahasa. Hear the beautiful characteristics of Krishna's smile. It is Krishna, whose smile is considered like a jewel. There's four different explanations given by the acharyas, by Sridhara Swami. As explained here, Lord Krishna's smile is considered, it could be compared to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jewel necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jewel necklaces. Because while Krishna plays the flute, he bends his head down and smiles. The word also means he whose smile like a jewel necklace casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly just like a smile. So this is the topics of the gopis in Vrindavan. They talk about Krishna's activities, name, pastimes. Here the gopis describe Krishna's feature. They explain that Krishna has a lightning mark on his chest. This is an auspicious mark of a very, very important person, a special person, particularly the marking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has many varieties of markings. As we know, Krishna has Kastuba Juvam, and Krishna has marking on his hands, like conches, lotuses and so forth. And he has this special mark, which is the mark which is considered resembles like a lightning. That mark is the Srivatsa mark. The Srivatsa mark is the place where the goddess of fortune Lakshmi Devi resides. So here the gopis are describing Krishna's different characteristics and different qualities and pastimes. As we go in the next few verses, we hear how the gopis describe Krishna's pastimes. In this particular text, we hear how the gopis are talking about Krishna's qualities and characters. And the gopis also explain the beauty of Krishna's flute. As we know in the third canto, when the four Kumaras were traveling to Vaikuntha planets, they were wondering, they wanted to see Lord Vishnu. They saw so many amazing things in Vaikuntha. They were Brahmavadis, they believed in merging to Brahman, but when they went to spiritual world, they saw the spiritual variegatedness. They were amazed to see it. And one of the quality is they saw is that the Lakshmi, the goddesses of fortune, they were actually praising the position of Tulasi Devi. They were praising the position of Tulasi Devi, that they were saying how fortunate Tulasi is. Tulasi is so fortunate that Tulasi is always residing on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So we, in this particular verse, we hear that the gopis are actually praising the wonderful, here we see the gopis are praising Krishna's flute. And later on we see in Krishna book, it's explained by Srila Prabhupada, the gopis are thinking, what is it that the gopis are thinking, Krishna's lips are our property, but we see that the flute is more fortunate than me. Why is the flute more fortunate than me? The flute is more fortunate than us because the flute always gets the nectar that is coming from Krishna's lips. And the gopis describe what is the pious activity the flute had to undergo. And the mother of the flute, that is the river and the lakes, they are very happy to see their proud son always attached to Krishna's lotus lips, or beautiful lips, nectar lips. And the bamboo's ancestors are glorifying such wonderful quality of the flute to have the association of Krishna. So we see that Krishna's flute has a special role in Vrindavan. Krishna's flute, when Krishna vibrates his flute, so many amazing things take place. Like, for example, as we will see in the later, as we see now right over here, when Krishna played his flute, the deers and the bulls and the cows, they were totally captured. They were captured by Krishna's wonderful flute playing, that their ears came out like a cup, and they were totally absorbed. This is the hearing process, we can see. And then later on we see Lord Shiva and Brahma, they are in deep meditation, deep absorption. And when Krishna plays his flute, then the meditation of Lord Shiva is broken, and he is wondering, where is that sound vibration coming from? And he just gets enchanted by Krishna's playing flute. Obviously, when Krishna plays his fifth note, that fifth note attracts the gopis. In previous chapters we've seen Krishna playing that fifth note, and all the gopis came to the forest running to meet Krishna. So Krishna has eight different notes he plays on, and different notes have different purposes which it fulfills. Like one of the notes can change the weather and so forth. Here we see that Krishna could attract the deer, the cows and so forth. This shows the power of hearing. This shows the power of hearing. Krishna, he shows mercy to all the conditioned soul. Through his lips, he vibrates the famous literature known as Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is, by definition, means song of God. Bhagavad Gita has the ability, has the potency to free us from the bodily concept of life and educate us in our spiritual identity in relationship with Krishna. This is the power of Bhagavad Gita, which is emanating from Krishna's lips. As we see here, that Krishna's flute has particular purposes that it fulfills. Like it attracts the deer, and the moving entities become non-moving, and then the non-moving entities become moving. Similarly, Krishna's vibration, or the lips and the words coming from his lips, has an effect on our own day-to-day life. By hearing Krishna's word in the form of Bhagavad Gita, we are able to free ourselves from bodily concept of life, and we are able to solve so many problems of the life we may experience in this material world, and reinstate our loving relationship with Krishna. That is our hearing. That is the benefit of our hearing process. And obviously, the glories of the gopis is most extraordinary. The gopis, they're glorifying Krishna. Because they're glorifying Krishna, that's why they're glorified even more. They're always chanting the glories of the Lord, as I mentioned. There's only two functions in the spiritual world. That is the hearing, primary function, that is the hearing and chanting. We see the gopis, they're glorified because they're always glorifying Krishna. They're always chanting the name of Krishna. That even Krishna, he's really in touch by gopis' love for him. What does Krishna do? When Krishna is in Dwarka, he can't forget the the residence of Vrindavan. Sometimes in the middle of the night he wakes up and he says, where is Gopi, where is Radharani, where is Chandravali and so forth? Where is Lalita, where is Vishakha? Because the gopis have given their whole life to Krishna through this very simple process, that is chanting his glories and hearing his glories. Like Krishna, he himself gets conquered. And Krishna also likes talking about the glories of the devotees, especially in the form of, in his wonderful, merciful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the beautiful quality of glorifying the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he specifically glorified Srila Haridas Thakur, because yesterday was Haridas Thakur's disappearance. I thought I could speak something about his beautiful pastime, something small. Haridas Thakur, he used to chant 300,000 names of Krishna. Following in the footsteps of gopis, he used to chant 300,000 names of Krishna. One third of his rounds he would chant it softly. One third he would chant enough loud so that he can hear himself. And the third, one third of it, he would chant loudly. So that's how Haridas Thakur, he used to glorify Krishna by chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He used to do that every day, without fail. So, one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to his residence, which is in Siddha Bakul, in Jagannath Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to come every day. So, that particular day he came over and he asked Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, please tell me, I'm feeling really sad, I'm feeling really miserable, I feel so much pain and unhappiness I cannot understand how could you deliver a person who kills cows and who destroys the Brahmanical culture. How could you ever deliver them? I don't find any means for their deliverance. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that specific word, those who kill cows or those who kill, or Brahmahatya, or those who kill the Brahmanas or destroy the Brahmanical culture, they are known as Mlechas or Yavanas. It is not categorized as a general, specific class of men. Yavanas and Mlechas are those who kill cows and destroy Brahmanical culture. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking this question, how could you ever deliver them? I don't find any means for their deliverance. Srila Haridas Thakur said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please don't feel disappointed. Surely there is deliverance for them. And he explained the famous word haram. We see there are some people, those who kill cows, they chant this word haram. Well, Haridas Thakur said, they will just chant this name haram, even though without understanding the potency of the name, still they will get benefit for it. And he quotes the wonderful Purana, Nrsimha Purana, and he says that there was a person, he was chased by a boar. While he was chased by a boar, he was chanting out haram, haram, haram. Although haram could mean something opposite, something bad, but nevertheless, because the man was chanting haram, haram, what a horrible situation, what a horrible situation. But this person, when he chanted the word haram, for a transcendentalist, the word haram means, oh Lord Ramachandra, oh Lord Ramachandra. But when this person chanted haram, he got deliverance. This is explained in Srimad Purana that airplane from the spiritual world came down and took that person who was killed by the boar, and he chanted the word Haram. This is the potency of chanting the name of the Lord. That's what Haridas Thakur says. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that just unconsciously if one chants the holy name of the Lord if they do it unconsciously without any offenses, then there's a great hope for their deliverance. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his happiness increased. He was very, very happy. And Mahaprabhu said to Haridas Thakur, but he said, well, how can the other non-moving living entities like the trees and creepers and the moving living entities like the dogs and the other animals get deliverance? There's no possibility for their, is there no possibility for their deliverance? Haridas Thakur said, yes, there is. There is full facility for their deliverance. Haridas Thakur mentioned that by chanting the holy name of the Lord loudly, what happens is, those living entities who hear the name of the Lord, they get deliverance. And he mentioned that the Lord's name can be echoed when it echoes. When you chant the Lord, the name of the Lord, and it echoes, it is not an echo, but it is the non-moving entities chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is what Haridas Thakur says. And Haridas Thakur said, this is the means by which they can get deliverance. And that is the means by which you can destroy their distress and bring about their joy or happiness. When Mahaprabhu heard this, he was very, very happy. And Mahaprabhu himself, he named Haridas Thakur Namacharya, or a teacher who by his example teaches everyone how to chant the holy name of the Lord. Haridas Thakur, he touched the Lord's heart so much that at his final stage in Jagannath Puri, when he was about to disappear from this world, Haridas Thakur, he was lying on the ground, and Govinda, the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, jubilantly took the remnants of Mahaprabhu's prasadam to give to Haridas Thakur. As he came to meet Haridas Thakur, he said to Haridas Thakur, please get up and have honored prasadam. Haridas Thakur was so weak, he couldn't eat prasadam. And he said, no, I'll be fasting today. Haridas Thakur said, I'll be fasting today because I haven't completed my rounds. Because he was so weak and he was chanting the holy name of the Lord very, very slowly. But Haridas Thakur said, well, you're giving me prasadam, I cannot refuse it. So he took a little bit prasadam. Next day, Mahaprabhu came after the afternoon arti for Lord Jagannath. Mahaprabhu came as usual to meet Haridas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu came down when he met Haridas Thakur. I'll just read a little bit. When Mahaprabhu went to Haridas's place and inquired him, Haridas, how are you doing? Mahaprabhu asked. Haridas offered his obeisances, and Haridas Thakur said to Mahaprabhu, my body is alright, everything is alright with me, but except my intelligence and mind is not alright, it's not well. And Mahaprabhu inquired to Haridas Thakur, can you ascertain the disease why that your mind and intelligence is not good, is not in healthy condition? Haridas Thakur replied, my disease is that I cannot complete my rounds. This shows his, and then we'll see in the next few verses how amazing the humility of Haridas Thakur. Now that you have become old, the Lord said, you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. You're already liberated, and therefore you need not follow the regulated principles very strictly. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver to people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the Holy Name in this world. The Lord concluded, now therefore, please reduce the fixed number of times you chant the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Maha Mantra. Haridas replied, kindly hear my plea, real plea. I was born in an inferior family and my body is most abominable. I always engage in low work, therefore I am the lowest, most condemned of men. We can see Haridas Thakur's humility. Haridas Thakur considered himself so insignificant. And then he continues on saying, he said, I am unseeable and untouchable, but you have accepted me as your servant. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. My dear Lord, you are the fully independent personality of Godhead. You act by your own will, free will. You cause the whole world to dance and act as you like. And then Haridas Thakur continues his humility. And then Haridas Thakur expresses his desire. And in this text he says that, I have had one desire for a very long time. I think that quite soon, my Lord, you will bring to a close your pastime within this material world. I wish that you not showed me this closing chapter of your pastime. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moonlight face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. Sorry. O most merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, kindly grant my desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make possible this perfection of all my desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, Krishna is so merciful that he must execute whatever you want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. It is not fitting that you go away and leave me aside. You can see the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can see the mood of Krishna. The mood of Krishna is that he doesn't want to leave the residence of Vrindavan. He didn't want to leave the gopis. Although he was present in Vrindavan, but he experienced that separation. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't want to leave the association of Haridas Thakur. It was only by Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descend to this world. It is explained that Advaita Acharya worshipped his Shalagram so nicely that he was able to call Krishna to come and descend to this world. But with the combined effort of, and also it was Haridas Thakur, because of his loud chanting of the holy name, that Krishna personally came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, what is Haridas Thakur wanting to do? He wants to leave this world before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was touched by Haridas Thakur's loving devotion, that he didn't want to leave Haridas Thakur. And then Haridas Thakur here says, what is his response? When Mahaprabhu says that, it is not fitting for you to go away and leave me aside. Then what does Haridas Thakur do? Catching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, my Lord, do not create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show mercy to me. And then Haridas Thakur explains this conversation with Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur is so amazing. In this particular verses, he explains his utmost humility. But this humility is a genuine humility. It is not to is not to attract some people by expressing their wonder, by showing themselves by their words. But this is a genuine humility as expressed in this verse. My Lord, there are many respectable personalities, millions of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. They're all helpful in your pastime. My Lord, if an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, where is the loss to the material world? My Lord, you're always affectionate to your devotees. I'm just an imitation devotee, but nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation. And then Mahaprabhu goes to his residence. And the next day, Mahaprabhu again. And that's when he comes in touch with Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur expresses his desire to depart this world. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows his blessings upon him. While Haridas Thakur continuously chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, gazing at the beautiful lotus-like eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he passed this world. Haridas, and then what does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do for his such a wonderful exalted devotee? He personally, he went store to store to beg alms, to provide a sufficient product. For that, Mahaprabhu, he took the body of Thakur. He was dancing while Vakreshwar Pandit, he was the prominent dancer. Swarup Damodar was singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Mahaprabhu was taking the body of Haridas Thakur and he was dancing. He was personally dancing with the body of Haridas Thakur. He entered into the ocean of Jagannath Puri and he exclaimed that those who take bath in this ocean is now has become a pilgrimage place. And he explained, those who take bath in this ocean will surely attain Krishna. This is the potency of taking bath in the ocean in Jagannath Puri. And what Mahaprabhu personally, he buried him under the ground and he poured and he gave, you know, he offered Haridas Thakur sandalwood pulp which was from Jagannath and he gave him Jagannath's remnants, Mahaprasadam and clothing. And he personally took the sand and poured the sand on Haridas Thakur. This way Mahaprabhu, he performed all the rituals for, or Shraddha, or the rituals for Haridas Thakur's passing away. He himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, took that position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally went store to store to beg alms to provide a big, wonderful feast for the devotees. And later on, all the prasadam was gathered up. With his own hands, he served prasadam to the devotees with his own hands. And traditionally in West Bengal, what they do is instead of using the spoon, they use hand in serving prasadam. Like for example, rice, they would use hand. So that's how Mahaprabhu did. He personally, with his own hands, took the rice from the pot and he put it on the devotee's plate. And Mahaprabhu, he would put the amount of prasadam which could satisfy five people. But Mahaprabhu served all the devotees and at the end, the devotees, Swarup Damodar asked Mahaprabhu and he was served by Kedarnath, who arranged a lunch invitation for Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, he enjoyed eating that prasadam. And he asked the servers to serve more prasadam to the other devotees. So they got so much prasadam that they ate up to their neck. Sumptuously up to their neck. This is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu celebrated the passing away of Haridas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu personally started glorifying the pastimes and attributes of Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths. So, by his name, you can see how Haridas Thakur, by his simple process of chanting the holy name of the Lord, he was able to conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally was willing to serve such an exalted devotee like Haridas Thakur, and he personally glorified, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally glorifies his devotees. And surely the gopis' position is most exalted. Gopis' position is so exalted that Krishna, he was wondering, what is that? What is the love? What is the love that the gopis have experienced for him, for me? That he personally came in the role of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand the gopis' mood, the Srimati Radharani's mood. The glory of gopis was so great that Mahaprabhu wanted to take the position or the such devotees. This is the beauty of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. For the beginners, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, by hearing the topics of the Lord, one's heart becomes cleansed of all material designation, material diseases. And for the most exalted personalities, the same hearing process is also praised by the Lord personally. The Lord personally, He helps us clean our heart in the beginning stage, and the Lord personally, in the final stage, the Lord personally glorifies such devotees. So this is the position of the gopis, and obviously the exalted position of Haridas Thakur. And by chanting the simple process of chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. Thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions?
When we get to know the source of the nation until you go into the jails and the psych wards, Krishna is in those places too, and not just when they come to the temple after they get out of those places, but you've got to go into those places too.
The temple is for educating oneself, to learn how to see Krishna everywhere. So that's why it's nice if you can take up that, you know, if you can see Krishna in that, in the ocean, in the water, no problem, that is good.
That's
nice. Yeah. That's all I'm in the taste of water. Prabhuji?
Interesting how we try to imitate Krishna. I was just thinking about Harry Potter. You know, he's pinched the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
He's got a lightning bolt on his forehead. Krishna's got the lightning bolt on his chest. Borrowing the idea from Krishna. Not very original at all.
Yeah, shows how Krishna is so attractive that even a even person who are not so inclined in Krishna conscious, they like to take up Krishna's qualities. Amazing. I'd like to just mention one small note I've written. This one is this is Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur heard from Mahaprabhu's lips, his own lips, this very stanza which was written by Rupa Goswami, he was filled in so much ecstasy that he couldn't control himself. This shows his devotion. This shows his devotion. Here's in the first chapter, text 99. Mahaprabhu says, "I do not know how much nectar the two-syllable Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many more mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ear, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. We see in the perfectional stage, we still want to chant our rounds, as we've seen in the example of Haridas Thakur. He was in such a diseased condition, a sick condition, he was about to lose, but he never failed to finish his rounds. He made sure that he was fixed in his sadhana program. So he's setting as an example, although a liberated person, he sets an example to all of us, sadhakas, and giving us encouragement. Actually what we do in our day-to-day life, performing sadhana, is great. This is the beginning and this is the completion, this is the completion or the perfectional stage. Yes,
Guru. While I heard Haridas Thakur say, my mind is not healthy, when it was actually his body that was ailing.
Because he felt that he didn't finish his round, so he felt bad that he couldn't finish his round. And that's why Mahaprabhu said, well, you can be a liberated person. You've already done your preaching, you know, Krishna can understand you. That's why Haridas Thakur, then he later said, actually, what I want to do is I want to depart. Because it's just so much trouble for me that it's so difficult. It's that I'm not able to finish my rounds and that is disturbing me. That's why I'm... Haridas Thakur said, my mind and intelligence is not in good state. That's out of the humility, obviously.
He said that he chanted 64 rounds loudly. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. One third.
Sorry.
Yeah, 64.
Yeah, then 64 silently. Now, we recommend that you chant loudly, but generally in kirtan.
In the kirtan, yeah.
In fact, you know, if you chant loudly in the presence of some devotees, I'll tell you to be quiet. And we're also not recommending to chant softly, are we? Because, you know, chanting softly, you don't know whether the person's asleep or not. Or whether they, you know, they can just be daydreaming. Even when they're chanting it down, they should be daydreaming, but and in applying the principle of not chanting too loudly, certainly chanting loudly is okay in kirtan, but or japa, you know, how do we learn from the example of Haridas Thakur, but taking into consideration that, you know, some people don't like to chant too loudly, and if we don't chant loudly, then people won't be able to chant at all.
My personal experience, I've seen, you know, Prabhupada explains that we should chant enough loud so that, you know, you can hear yourself enough loud. And then for loud kirtan, as you mentioned, you know, loud chanting is for the kirtan and harinam. You know, like we're gonna have harinam today. And my personal experience, sometimes we come out of the temple, see the Kali Yuga vices, and so much, you know, degradation. And the mind gets so agitated. So that's when we can apply our chantings, you know, to ourselves, you know, to keep our spiritual potency going on. And that's when we should try to chant, in our mind. And that's how we fight against Maya. And I've seen that whenever I see some, you know, obnoxious pictures or, you know, obnoxious advertisement, and I just chant the name of the Lord within my mind, because you can't chant loud or people will think you're crazy. Or you need to go to mental hospital or something. But if you chant in mind, if you're able to chant within your mind, you can see the same obnoxious picture which entered your mind will go away instantly. So our practice in the temple, like for example, japa class we have every day, we chant to ourselves, as loud enough so that we don't fall asleep and we can hear attentively. and following the sadhana, that is doing kirtan, that is to help us meditate throughout the day of Krishna. And that's when we can chant within our mind. And I've seen it helped me so much. So, personally, I went to a swimming pool with a few devotees, and that really bombarded me so much. For the next few days, I really took shelter of the holy name, through the chanting, personally chanting, it helped me. And then later on, whenever the thought came, I went, Hare Krishna, within my mind, really. That is what it means to hit your mind with the shoes or broom, you can say. That is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah, as Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur said, one should hit the mind 100 times with the shoes and 100 times with the broom. That means that we should try to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We may apparently not like to chant the holy name. Apparently we may not like to chant the holy name. It's like revolting. It should be done. I don't know. What is your realization or understanding in this?
My realization.
In this.
I know. I was asking you. What did that mean?
So that's what I think about chanting silently.
Half past six.
There's
outside Gopal.
Outside Gopal.
Some loud chanting.
Yeah, please come
and
if you can.
Battling with the rivers of Kali Yuga. The Garcians of.
Real quickie.
The Prabhupada said if you chant heaven, if there's someone sitting next to you, I should be able to hear as well.
Yeah, as long as. Yeah, you should chant enough loud so that they can hear you, the person sitting here, not in the other house. It's true. Yeah. But it should be done in a very, sincere way, not to provoke the person.
No, I think the Prabhupada's just saying your chanting should be such that it's audible.
Yeah, it's audible.
To others.
Right.
So that they can hear it.
They can hear it, yeah.
It's in the chanting
channel. Chanting goes on when you sleep as well, it never stops.
Yeah.
For some people, it's possible.
Okay. Thank you very much. Grant Rashima Bhagavatam Ki. Shri Prabhupada.